Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
You know, the leaves what's up? On what's the trees up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, I tell you, what a week we had last week. And, of course, this week started off a little bit better than we ended last week. But, you know, it's the big question is it going to be the Grinch or is it going to be Santa? Nobody knows for sure who's showing up, but I tell you, it certainly looks more and more like the Grinch is going to be here for the Christmas holiday versus Santa. And, you know, when you look at the overall picture and you look at what's going on and you look at what the idiots are doing, and again, I use the term loosely, but, you know, I can't quite understand where Janet Yellen is coming from. Now, again, I'm a big fan of raising rates because I know that rates can only, that the country, that the small business, the entrepreneur, the individual, the middle class, can only survive if we indeed get higher interest rates, because we need to unlock the cash that is sitting in the banks. Now, you look at then the Bank of Japan, which it, at first blush looked like they dropped the atomic bomb of finance down by saying that they were going to increase their purchases of ETFs, which means that they're basically doing everything now. They've done the bond deal, they've done the currency deal, so now they're telling you that there's problems and we need to do something further. Now the problem with that is there's a problem. Okay. Can't we recognize the issues that are at hand? Do we not see the major problem that is being, that we have created, developed, and gone through while being involved with the markets? Now, again, the markets and the economy are not necessarily related because the economy sucks. Okay? It's simple. It's not a complicated question. It's not a complicated problem. The economy sucks. We don't have growth. We don't have anything good going on. Now, you can listen to the pundits and pontificate about how good everything is, and you can continue to listen to these idiot money managers that continue to tell you to pour money in to the equity market, because what do they care? It ain't their money. They're just making money off of you. So you can continue at this current pace and continue to chase the markets up and look for a reason and chase yield. But at the end of the day, there is no doubt about it that the markets will collapse. Now, again, we're not going out of business. We're not going to collapse permanently. But you have to weigh in all the information. And that simply is that markets always have sell-offs. They always collapse after a certain period of time. Now, again, I can't tell you it's going to be tomorrow. I can't tell you it's going to be next week. I don't know when it's going to be. I know that the warning signs, though, are abundantly clear that the country is not in good shape, that the world is not in good shape, and that defaults are coming quicker and faster than you ever saw. And it doesn't seem to me that anybody's really concerned about it, which becomes the bigger problem. The issue of complacency when it comes to investing is a problem. Why? Well, let's think about it. You've got a bunch of mutual funds that are not honoring redemptions. Now, when you enter a contract to invest, you say that you can redeem when you need with a, depending on what the fund is, a 30-day notice, whatever. But we are not seeing them honor redemptions, which means that they don't have the money. Okay? It's not any other thing, but they don't have the money to honor those redemptions. Now, if you don't think that's a problem, well, think about it this way. You're going to see people that need the money, that want out, that are going to start liquidating some equities that they own, that they can sell, which will create a bigger problem down the road. Now, again, I'm not bringing out the alarm bell, telling everybody that this is going to be the end of today or tomorrow. I'm just telling you that, you know, the end is near. And that's why we often talk about here on the show is why your portfolio should be hedged, because you don't want to worry about it. You want the compounding endowment model that we teach, okay? Because you don't see major universities who run the endowment model panicking when markets are collapsing. You don't see the very rich panicking when markets are collapsing. What are they doing when this is happening? They're accumulating assets into a fall. Okay, now we're not at a fall right now, but when we do, the very wealthy will be just saying, oh, good, we're going to get richer. The rich are going to get richer once again, and that's always been the case since the beginning of time, that the rich get richer and the middle class gets popped. And, you know, I don't want, again, I'm not trying to create a stir or fear, but you can just see the handwriting, as I say, is on the wall. And the longer we continue to ignore, okay, the problems that are at hand, the longer we continue to chase the yield of the stock market, the more problems that are going to be created by the overall system that we are in. Now, again, I'm proud to be an American, but I am ashamed at some of the things I see going on. I'm ashamed that our chief executive officer seems to have no regard for anything but himself, even going to as far as during the Democratic debate, he was out playing golf, okay, and not staying there with his party. But of course, he's not worried about his party because he has created so many entitlements that it doesn't really matter. Okay, because he's bought a number of votes going forward. As you've heard our friend Bill Whittle talk about here often, you know, give him the iPhone and give him a couple of bucks and they'll vote for you forever. And that becomes the bigger problem, because we don't have a reason to believe that there's going to be change. And that's where we need a complete overhaul on our political system, because although the Fed is not supposed to be part of the government and it's supposed to be an independent body, you cannot tell me that their actions over the last 7 years have been as an independent body. You can't tell me that they're not day trading the equity market. You can't tell me that they have a clue. Because they don't. That is the simple truth, sad but true, that the most powerful organization in the world, because he who controls the money, or in this case, she who controls the money, always holds the upper hand. You cannot tell me in your own way that they have any idea of what they're doing here and the damage that they're creating. I want to make sure that you go to thebubbashow.org and check out A, what we're writing about, B, some of the new programs, because we are going to help you get through this overall disaster that is being made and built by our friends in the government and at the Federal Reserve. So make sure you go check it out. And anytime you miss a show, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm and catch The Bubba Show, because I'm there on demand, waiting for you, looking for you. But for now, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Orwitz, and we're going to stop out for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. There's no one but you. I think I got some. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, as you know, I like to bitch, but I don't really like to bitch. But I'm tired. I'm tired of watching an organization, and we'll start with the Federal Reserve. It seems to be a big topic. The cartel, the banking cartel, okay, owned by banks, for banks, that basically say, if you're not rich, screw you. And that's it. We don't care. We're going to do as we see fit to help out our cronies through the banks. Now, it doesn't sound like it's that big a deal, but at the end of the day, it is a very big deal, because when your leaders, when the leadership that you have, that you are depending on to take care of business in a proper manner is not, when the group that's supposed to be in charge and handling monetary policy, and they're doing a horseshit job, okay, you have to wonder to yourself, well, are they doing what's in my best interest, or are they doing what's in their best interest? And I have to say that from my point of view, they do not have our best interest at heart. In my point of view, they're sticking it up, you know what, and it's becoming a much bigger problem. But that is always the problem when you try to solve issues out of a book. Because what do we know for a fact? We know that situations arise in markets, in the world, in the economies, that at the end, they're always the same. There's just a different leader. There's a different star of the show. But you cannot, I repeat, you cannot continue to print money, spend more than you're taking in, and hope to borrow your way out of debt. You cannot do it. It does not work. Okay. Now, again, eventually the tide will change and everybody's going to look back at this time in history and say, what happened? Okay. And I'm telling you now what's going to happen. Okay. And I'm not a genius. I'm not a fortune teller, but I've seen the movie many, many times, and maybe this will be a new Christmas hit. The Fed, the ignorant led by the incompetent, or the incompetent led by the ignorant. Pick your choice of titles, because they are certainly the group that has zero, and I say zero, common sense. They are the group that has no idea of what the next move is supposed to be. They have no idea of how to run a successful business. And again, as we've said here hundreds of times, the United States, if anything, is a business. But what do we care? Okay, we can print money. We've got the Federal Reserve. We can put out more than we take in. Because why shouldn't we? Because that's what we do. We screw the middle class. That's our mandate. And I think it's time, you know, Ron Paul has been on the bandwagon, or the beaten path to end the Fed, audit the Fed. And, you know, I always felt that we needed some type of body to watch out for everybody's best interest. But somewhere along the line, the Federal Reserve lost their way. And instead of watching monetary policy and taking care of real business, they became investors in the equity market. You would almost think, now this is not true, and I'm not just accusing anybody here, but you would almost think that they were front running and day trading the market. You would almost think that every time they get a sell off, they're in there buying, and then they're going to go out and say, "Well, we'll do whatever it takes." Now, last Wednesday's FOMC meeting and announcement, quarter point rate hike, I never thought they would do it. I didn't think they had the balls to do it. Of course, Janet Yellen ain't got balls, but I didn't think they would ever raise rates now into a slowing economy, into a deflationary scenario, but they did. Now, was it correct? I don't think it was correct for the time. I think that Ben Bernanke blew his opportunity to raise rates. I believe we should be at 2 or 3% interest already. I think that had these idiot Keynesians decided that, you know what, if the market falls, it falls. Again, remember history. The markets are able to overcome through the picture of free markets and price discovery. Markets are very capable of pricing themselves. They don't need the artificial hand or the hidden hand of the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve has no damn business involved in the market. The market does not, the market controls is involved with a very small percentage of the population. Okay? And nobody has to be in the stock market. But the Fed has pigeonholed you to having to put that money in the market because they've left the rates low so long that you cannot put them in the bank. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that pretty irritating. I find the fact that they're continuing to try to kick the can down the road by borrowing their way out of debt, by creating more money. And now, what do? They have their big Fed meeting. They raise rates. But is it possible to believe that the announcement in the press conference was almost more dovish than it was than we were before? And now, basically, the theory behind this is that the Fed raised the rates so that they could lower them again later. Now, where the hell does that make sense? Are we really that ignorant that we can believe what these people are doing there? I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I wish they'd go away because, quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of hearing them. And they're talking about, well, the Fed raised for credibility. They have zero credibility. They have absolutely no idea of what they're going to do next. And basically, they're hiding in the room. Okay. And of course, if we continue to see this market sell off, I'm sure one of them will come out and start talking up the economy and start talking up what they can do to stimulate it. But again, I go back to the simple basics of markets, which is simply this. Free markets, price discovery will always be better for the average, for the markets, for people. Because when you don't have free markets, you have a socialistic, communistic society that is not allowing the free trade and the free exchange of wealth that price discovery disguises, that handles for you. Now, we know, what do we know for a fact about markets? We know that for every buyer, there has to be a seller. For every seller, there has to be a buyer. We know that everything has a value when given the choice of free market. It is no different than when you go to a flea market or when you buy a new car. Okay? Nobody pays sticker price. Nobody pays the amount. And what you're doing when you buy a car or when you go to a flea market and you're negotiating price, you are establishing an area of price discovery. And until you have a true price discovery, until you have markets that free function without any helping hands, you will not have a solid economy. You will have an economy that is on, I guess, as they say, there's one foot on a banana peel, the other on a sheet of ice on it, whatever the saying is. I can never remember them, but they do make sense for some of the things we're talking about. But you cannot continue to try to artificially inflate asset prices because you are not helping the people that need the help the most. And that's the problem, okay, is the people that need the most amount of help are getting the least amount of help, okay? And the people that need the least amount are getting the most. Now, where is the equitable value there? When are they going to wake up, which is never, but that's the problem. Because between our commander-in-chief, between the head of the Federal Reserve, between all the other incompetents that are running this country and running the monetary system, what do we end up with? We end up with a pile of crap, okay? And that's what we have right now, is a pile of crap brought to you by your Federal Reserve. Now, again, that's why if you're not hedging your portfolio, if you have not sat down and said, you know what, I don't want to go through this again, then you're making a mistake. And if you're smart, you'll go to BubbaTrading.com right now and you'll look at the hedging program that we're offering so that you can compound and make the endowment model of your portfolio instead of the mess that we're going to have later. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Catch all of our shows at libertytalk.fm on
You're
demand.
So
the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back
You're
after
so this. So sweet on
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for his usual weekly appearance. Of course, he was in the on the injured reserve list last week, but it's time for Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. And Matt, quite the action we saw last week in the markets. A big up week, which I think you started to call early in the week. But then, of course, the week finished pretty disastrously. And, you know, it's kind of unusual this time of year going into the holidays that you would see that kind of action. But it was pretty ugly. And what's your take and what are you thinking?
Well, we were bullish going into the week. We thought we'd get a little weakness this, you know, past Monday. And we got it. We got long. We rode it for, it was a, in the S&P, it was a 90-point ride up. And then Thursday, Friday, we had a 80-point ride back down. So, yeah, super volatile. I'm concerned about where we bottomed in volatility last week, Wednesday, because I follow volatility patterns and intermediate term patterns in volatility look like they bottomed. So I think they can now press quite a bit higher. And that would mean lower stock prices ahead.
Okay, so you think that volatility is starting to move higher, and do you think this is the time that we finally break out of this channel of volatility that we've been in, which has basically been trending lower for 10 years, and now we finally see the opportunity for it to move higher from here? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't mean, you know, yeah, 10 years of dropping volatility, I think, is still in place. I just think that we're going to go, you know, modestly higher. I had patterns in the August, September timeframe for volatility to peak higher than it did. And we never got there, so I think this might be round two where we actually do get to, you know, my top line, which is a declining line. So just to be clear about that, I don't actually expect volatility to get higher than it did in August and September. We need to get a spike higher because to hit this top line that's declining. That probably means a return to the, in terms of stocks, it probably means S&P and Dow and so forth return close to their August lows.
Okay, so you're thinking the August lows, which were in play, Now, when you look and you look out a little bit farther, what's your outlook into the new year?
Going out a little bit further, I think we need to get a sell off just to complete some of these patterns, and then I think we're going to get one more rally up to new highs across the board, new highs, and then I think we're going to get something really, really serious, really a very serious bear market. I just don't think it's done yet to the upside.
Okay, so you don't think that. That last week's action is the end. You think there's going to be one more attempt to see him spike up here?
That's right. Yeah. So short term, I think more weakness. Medium term, a big rally. Long term, we're going to see a big bear market.
Okay. And I don't think anymore that we're going to. I thought we had a chance to see new highs. I don't see the overall views of the market. I think that finally the unintended consequences of this ridiculous, incompetent, ignorant Fed and central banks around the world is finally going to keep a lid on the market. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to have a rally, because I certainly expect, and if I'm right, and this is the turn of where we started to go down, that there still will be some monstrous rallies, because As we all know, or we don't all know, but as you know and I know, that bear market rallies are the most vicious rallies that you can possibly get, which is usually the sign that you are turning into a bear market when you get volatility to the upside as well as the downside. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, those short covering rallies in bear markets are monsters. I mean, and there's no, you know, you can in a way already begin a bear market and still make new highs, and that's kind of. I don't know if that actually makes sense, but I do think that we have not peaked to the upside just yet. So I think on one of these short covering rallies from close to these sort of August September lows, we could just,
yeah. I mean, that your chart. Listen, you're a pure technician. You're a chart reader, and I get that, and I have no problem with that call. I mean, I thought we'd have a chance to push the new highs. But now I think that we have seen the ugliness, and only the start of the ugliness. And this is where, in my opinion, the average investor really gets it stuck to them, because they don't really understand or know how to play this type of market. Because what's going to happen, and you can verify or tell me that I'm wrong, but what's going to happen is you're going to see some selling. You're going to see some selling coming in. And then you'll get this one of these major rallies that looks so good. You say to yourself, how can I not be participating in this explosion to the upside? Okay. But of course, that's just another opportunity to sell, because the market's going to go, are going to go lower. And I think that, if we can't get back above 2020 in the S&P or 17.2 in the Dow, now we're only minorly below there right now. So it's not like it can't happen. Okay. And certainly, those are levels I was watching from my perspective on a much bigger view, but if we can't get back above them, or clearly get back above them, then I think that this is just the start. Again, there will be unbelievable rallies that are going to come, but the average investor will get screwed because they don't really know how to handle this, and at some point they'll keep hoping for those dip buyers to come back in and crush the volatility and have the markets, start to go back to that bull uptrend that, buying every dip. But I think that this time that they probably won't get the dips we're getting for, and the little guy will get trapped. What do you say?
Yeah, I think, the higher the volatility goes, in both directions, you're going to get a lot of investors trapped, and they're probably just going to whipsaw themselves. So we'll see about that. One thing that I thought was interesting from last week too is the volatility we got out of the Nikkei on Friday. It had a 6% swing intraday. It popped up 3% and then fell 6% from the Bank of Japan had their equivalent of our Fed meeting, and they announced their next addition to their QE program. And at first, I think everybody was excited about it, and then they realized that it was much more modest than expectations. and then it reversed very, very dramatically and quickly. Where Nikkei ended on Friday was an important support. So if that breaks, it'll probably be bad news for the global indices, I think, in general.
Well, I mean, I can't look at whether the market goes up or down. I cannot make a case for good news either way. I mean, one thing we always have to remember is that the stock market and the economy and everything else are not necessarily linked together. Okay, because we are up, and if you look back, if you're one of those guys that looks inside of the rally, I mean, you know, there's more than 50% of the S&P stocks that are in bear markets already. And I believe that 5% or 10% of the stocks drove the entire market to keep it somewhere near where it is unchanged right now. So the picture itself is very ugly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the breadth is terrible. If you just look at the economy itself, like we're talking about, I don't hear a lot of people saying, oh, they feel like times are booming. And I think this, you know, 5% unemployment rate is, you know, masks really serious weakness in the employment market. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not. We can all talk and be happy about all the supposed good news and the good jobs and all the other stuff. But at the end of the day, it's all a bunch of crap because it doesn't mean anything, and it's all artificial. And to your point on the Bank of Japan, I actually wrote as the announcement came out. I was out of town and I had to write my update. And I had wrote that Japan dropped the atomic financial bomb, saying that they're going to start buying ETFs, which means they're just go right there. All they're doing is buying the equities to support the equity market.
And it's insane. I mean, they have no business getting into those markets. And what happens when they eventually decide to unwind that?
That's the point. That's the whole point of this old stupid ass QE programs. You know, the one problem, and I want to get to this when we come back from the break, but the one biggest problem here in the markets in general. Now, again, as a technician, you're watching the footprint, so it doesn't really matter as much. The outside noise plays off in the footprint of the market either way, correct?
Correct, yeah.
All right, so that doesn't, no matter why we're going where we're going, the footprint will always show. And just to prove that fact is you'll see things happening in markets. And I'll say, if you're listening to me when I'm doing a call or if I'm on the air, I'll say, there's an announcement coming somewhere, even if the news is not yet, because the market's already telling you that something's going to happen here. And so the market knows via the footprints and the overall holding up of the markets over the last 7 years. A lot of it has been done artificially through the quantitative easing programs that we have and through free money and acquisition. Now, again, as a technician, you don't really care why it does what it does. You just follow the footprint because the footprint will always take you there. But when we come back, I want to know from Matt Demeter of Demeter Research when or if you think we're ever going to get back to truly free markets and true price discovery. Because right now, we don't have free markets and price discovery. We have manipulation. But that'll be something for you to answer when we get back. We're with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, a regular here on The Bubba Show, always bringing us great information. Had a great call last week and until the middle of the week. And then the market sold off, which he expected. But we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you get on demand, libertytalk.fm. The Bubba Show, you can check it there. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back after the break.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, a regular contributor here on the Bubba Show, and always bringing us very good information and things to watch out for as a technician. As we all know, nothing is 100% guaranteed to go either one way or the other. But having a mathematical and having a basis to make that decision is always much better. So, Matt, as we went to break, I said to you, in your opinion, do we ever get back to free markets and true price discovery where the markets tell you what the interest rate be, where the markets tell you where the stock should be, without all of this ridiculous ignorance from the Federal Reserve and the central banks about trying to manipulate price? Do we ever get back to the regular market price discovery?
I think we do get back to regular market pricing because of sort of an override of the Fed. But I don't think the Fed's going to stay out. I think the Fed's going to continue to manipulate. So I think the next big move down, the big, you know, in the markets when you know, junk bonds start getting out of control, that sort of thing. I think the Fed is going to reverse course, going to start up QE again. And I think, you know, we will return to free markets in the sense that, you know, all their manipulation will come home to roost and it'll all unwind in some chaotic manner. I don't know how far off that is. I think it's probably within, you know, 2 to 3 years within that time frame. But what I'm seeing, like, to answer that question, I need to look at my dollar charts. My dollar chart suggests that the dollar is close to the highs it's going to reach. We can go a little bit higher. We can go maybe 1, 2, 3% higher max in the dollar. But I think all these built-in expectations for higher rates throughout next year and the following year are kind of off base. The dollar is not really looking to strengthen that dramatically. And at some point, it's going to reverse pretty harshly. So that suggests not only does the Fed undo any rate increases that may have occurred to that point, that they will also go back to quantitative easing.
And I do agree that they will go back to quantitative easing, because unfortunately, my title for most of my stuff in the past few days has been the ignorance led by the incompetent. Because again, and not to be redundant on talking about that, but they have no clue. And unfortunately, in the life of trading, in the life of investing, in the life of business, we are in the stock market, the United States of America. This is a business, okay? Now, you can call it whatever you want, but you cannot continue to manipulate markets and print money and run at a deficit, because eventually you run out of money. So we have to have the ability to go back to that free price discovery. But unfortunately, with the current administration, because although the Fed is not supposed to be a government agency, what do you think? Are they involved in the government or not?
Well, technically, they're a private bank. I mean, their shareholders are 80% private. So we don't know the 80% bulk ownership of the Fed. We don't know who they are. Or perhaps they're, you know, the JP Morgans, Goldman Sachs, the big, you know, the big commercial banks that may have a stake in them. I'm not actually sure about who those owners are. 20%, I believe, is the government. So,
right, I understand that, but they're supposed to be an independent agency, not being affected by anything the government does. That is what they're supposed to be. That was the mandate of when they were created, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Now, if you think that, let me ask you this question. If you thought that J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs were owners, had ownership in here, which they may, but you would think they'd be pushing to have higher interest rates, because the low interest rate model, which originally bailed them out, which was fine, is now starting to hurt them the other way, because they can't make enough use of their capital right now, and they're dying for higher interest rates. What do you think?
It's really hard to know. I mean, if the whole economy kind of tanks, then the need for loans disappears too. So if we're talking about net interest margins, this is an area where it gets a little bit out of my depth as far as, how do they stand to make the most money, and how does the economy have to be functioning for that to happen?
Well, I'll give my opinion since you don't have one. The banks need higher interest rates because they're not, the ability to loan money out, the ability to create better jobs, the ability to create entrepreneurs is based on being able to borrow money. And since the average guy in the street can't borrow any money because the banks ain't giving it up, because why would you when if you're going to loan to me, you loan at 3.5 or 3.75, or if you give it back to the full faith and credit at 2.5, you're not going to work on a 1-point spread. It just doesn't mathematically soundly work for the banks. So they're dying now for high interest rates, which is why they were perking up a little bit. The financials have been perking up a little bit after being downtrodden for the most of the time here. So, Matt, what is your forecast? You know, again, I don't expect this to be, you know, 100%. I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire and say that you have to be right. But just what are you looking at across the world? I know you follow the DAX and you follow, you know, the yen and a couple of things. What are your forecasts for those products going out into the new year 2016?
The DAX isn't entirely clear to me, but we've broken below supports that I thought should hold. There's still one major support that hasn't broken yet. That's the key one. If it breaks, then we could see much lower levels for the DAX. I have a little more clarity on the yen. The yen, I think, is going to double. And I think that's a bit crazy, you know, or it seems crazy because everybody that's ever even thought about the yen for the past 2 years has gone short. But that may actually be part of the reason why I think it's going to explode higher. The chart of the yen suggests a dramatic strength to come. The banks so far have been leaning pretty heavily that way too. They're long yen. I think it's just primarily the your typical traders and retail that are going heavily short yen. And I think at some point that really unwinds on them. Nikkei probably suggests also serious weakness in the Nikkei.
So you see, now the yen itself has really been in pretty solid consolidation for the last year, I would say, at least, correct? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it has. But sort of upward rising wedge.
Okay, so you would expect after that big down move in the yen and then in consolidating and now, you know, we've had some consolidation lower, but it looks like, you know, probably around, you know, a 0.008 based on the yen at the CME currency. It looks like that might be a bottom there. And in fact, on Friday, on heavy volume, we went down there and then, of course, spiked up at the end of the day and finished towards the top of the range again. So is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, so we actually bought again at the bottom of that range, and then we sold again at the top. So we had a pretty good trade. It was an automated trade. It happened so fast because of the Bank of Japan. But now where we are, we're just up against fairly strong resistance short term. If that resistance gets broken, then you could really see the yen just take off. So that would come, I don't have the level in front of me, but it would be above 0.0081 approximately.
Okay. No, I mean, again, I don't disagree with that. I think that that's probably, you know, a fairly good spot. I mean, again, you know, as I like to talk about, sometimes trades just get too damn crowded. And, you know, everybody, you know, eventually you need the other side of the market. And right now, the only side of the market right now for those types of people, as you're talking about, is to just be short. And, of course, we all know that doesn't work forever. And eventually they have to are forced to cover. And, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, Matt, it's always great having you on the show. We appreciate you and want to wish you and your family a merry, merry Christmas and happy, healthy New Year. We're always glad you can be a part of joining the Bubba Show because you bring a lot of good information to us.
Thank you so much, Todd, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, so this is Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, and check it out. Go to DemeterResearch.com. I think you'll find that he brings to you, it's like GE, he brings good things to light. And seriously, he does. He's got, again, he did email and let me know that he thought the markets were going to spike up early last week, and of course he was right. And again, nobody's 100% right, but when you get in and you play in this pool, you want to at least have the best opportunity for the mathematical odds to put yourself in favor. And that's kind of what Demeter does. Matt Demeter, Demeter Research. Check him out. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you get all our shows at libertytalk.fm on demand. That'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. Wake up, Maggie.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.